was going to say, dude, you creating the slides again? No, I'm just kidding. Twelve steps, which one? What's, is there a larger, I guess you'd have to scroll over to here to find out how many. There's 5150, I'm not sure which one you all are using or something. There's 5150 kilobytes and there's 4920, but. Which one, here's one, 7/11/2017, the date on it. I guess, because, I mean, that's the most recent. The rest of them are 2016, 15. I don't know. Maybe that's the one we used last time that you opened up last time? Oh, does he? Okay. Do I have clicker or what? What do I got? Let's see if this is it. Turn it on. Switches on, but maybe, hopefully, boom. No wonder he sets it up. It is really slow. I don't know what's going on with it. Yeah. Yeah. Tape. Holds everything together. Here we go. You want me to try clicking it or? Yeah, I guess so. And then how do I get to 79? Are you going to be in here?
I can just escape it, and then we'll scroll down.
And hit. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. And am I guess I'm on and everything, ready to go.
All right.
Well, good evening, everybody. We finally got things worked up here, I think. Yeah, thanks to Ed for being here. Well, those of you that don't know me, who doesn't know me? Has anybody seen me teach before? I'm Keith Meyer, and Nick's out of town. He's down south in Brazil and traveling all over the place, and so he asked me to step in and teach for you guys. So I don't have it memorized like Nick does. So I've got written notes. I've got typed stuff. I've got, so y'all just have to bear with me on this, okay? But let's go ahead and get started, and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before your presence tonight. Lord, to hear from you, to hear your words. Give me your words tonight. Open our eyes to see what we cannot see, and open our ears to hear what we cannot hear. Directly from the Holy Spirit tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to start off with slide number one. Good place to start. Nick's probably going, what? You're starting off with slide number one? We're starting off with slide number one because I wanted to go through a few of the slides because it has to do with what we're teaching tonight. And it has to do with getting back to what we were taught in the beginning. The basics, right? And you always go back to the basics. Remember Vince Lombardi? What would he do every year? Get his team together, getting ready to go through training camp. They'd all be paying attention to him. And he said, gentlemen, this is a football. And he would start from the basics. And you pay somebody $40 million a year, and you're going to take him out there to learn how to throw, block, tackle, run, over and over and over again. The basics, the basics, the basics. And so that's kind of like where we're at a little bit right here. We're starting with the beginning, slide one. I just wanted to go over a few slides before we go into, I think it's lesson eight on this one. But in Romans 8:19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." That be you. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same hope," or in same in hope, "because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So we are the sons of God, and everything is groaning, wanting you to take your place of rulership. You're a queen, you're a king in this planet, and everything in this earth is wanting you to take your position through Christ Jesus. They're waiting, waiting, groaning. In Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would," which is walk as a son of God. "But if ye be led by the Spirit of God, ye are not under the law." In these next four sessions, we will learn about what holds us back from our ability to walk as sons and daughters of God. And that's also what we're going to start with session eight. Let's start with addictions and see how they hold us back, because we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about addictions. We're going to talk about relationship. We are all addicted to something. A bold statement, but significantly true. We're all addicted to something. And it's not just drugs, alcohol, pornography. It's fear. It's worry. It's food. It's TV, just vegging out. What would you say? Yes. Being a victim all the time. You're literally addicted to that. So I'm going to go through these real quick, trying to get to the other slide. But we're all addicted to something, and you're chemically addicted to it. And I've talked about that in past teachings when I've taught that you're chemically addicted to being a victim. You don't want to be a victim. You don't want to worry. You don't want to feel this way. You don't even want to feel depressed. But you're addicted to the chemical. Because every thought that you think, when you start meditating on that thought, it releases a chemical in your body, or chemicals in your body. And those chemicals are what we call feeling and emotion. And your body becomes addicted to those chemicals. And your body will cry out for those chemicals. And you'll create situations of stress and worry just to fulfill that need. It's like a heroin addict. You can never get enough of what you don't want. I don't want it, but I can't get enough of it. And that's the way people are. So addiction is a repetition of a behavior despite adverse consequences. If you can't control your emotions and your emotions control you and your physical well-being, you may be addicted to that state. Control your emotions and your emotions control you. We'll talk about that tonight, too, in relationships. Insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Let's see where we're at here. Okay, this is what I'm going to kind of use this teaching here in our teaching tonight as well. Because there are things, there are relationships, there are past relationships that we need to get rid of. Where we have, not get rid of the relationship, but we have hurt people in the past. Or they have hurt us, and it left deep scars. And emotions in us. And we need to get rid of that. We need to bring that to the surface as the Holy Spirit leads us and make amends to those people. Or forgive those people if they've hurt us. Because you are vibrating at that energy level. If you allow it to stay with you. So each emotional or physical state, the hypothalamus of the brain produces neuropeptides, amino acids, or chemicals based on that emotional state that key lock into your cell receptor sites. And you vibrate at a certain frequency based on that emotion. Like waves attract each other and line up with each other. There are hundreds of different amino acids, one for each emotion created. So you've got these chemicals, right? They key lock into your cells, and they cause you to vibrate. You actually vibrate. You know, Nick's taught this. Everything is energy. Everything vibrates. The chair you're sitting on is vibrating. The floor is vibrating. You're vibrating. The planet vibrates at 7.8 hertz. This wall is vibrating. The air around you is vibrating. Everything's energy, and everything vibrates. And you actually have a field of energy around you. They can sense that. Scientists know that there is a field of energy, electromagnetic energy, around you. There is vibration around you. And it extends anywhere from 5 to 7 feet. And they've asked them, well, does it extend further? And they said, it probably does, but our instruments can't measure that far. So it is actually, and it looks like, if you looked at the way the Earth's magnetic field looks, it looks like the Earth's magnetic field around you. Literally. It just all around you. And whatever emotional state you're in, that's what you're vibrating at. And you're sending out, you're broadcasting this. You're broadcasting these emotions, these feelings. And it's like a wave, okay? Like a radio station on the mountain, or KTAR. It's broadcasting at 92.3 kilohertz. That's really fast frequency. But they call that frequency a wave, carrier wave. They are broadcasting, and it's on a carrier wave of 92.3 kilohertz. And that person's voice travels on the carrier wave. It carries his voice. Now, if I'm in my car and I tune in to 92.3 kilohertz, I can hear them because my carrier wave matches their carrier wave. And so I can hear their voice. Or if I have a two-way radio, walkie-talkie, and we're on the same frequency, I can click and I can talk and my voice travels on the carrier wave to them. They click their walkie-talkie and it travels on their carrier wave back. And so imagine that you're feeling really negative, you're feeling really depressed, you're feeling all these negative thoughts and emotions and hurtful feelings. What are you broadcasting? What's on your carrier wave? Hurt, depression, poverty, lack, want. And guess what? You're matching another carrier wave out there. And it's sending thoughts and signals to you. More and more and more of that negative. Because you're on the same carrier wave. Like waves attract each other. And it's based on your emotional state, how you're feeling at any moment. When a cell divides, it produces more receptor sites. That emotional state, therefore, the body craves more of those neuropeptides produced from that emotional state. We choose whether we crave negative or positive emotional states. There are thousands upon thousands of receptors in each cell in our body. That's kind of like what it looks like, animation of it. And Dr. Joe Dispenza, University of Aberdeen, with background in biochemistry, neurology, and cellular biology, teaches how to reprogram or repent, change your way of thinking. Thinking using using Java Auto Updater. That's what you need to install in your brain. Hesitations. I got it. I love that. If we're bombarding the cell with the same attitude and the same chemistry over and over, when that cell finally decides to divide, the next cell will have more receptor sites for those particular emotional neuropeptides, those chemicals, those feelings and emotions, and less receptor sites for vitamins, minerals, nutrients, fluid exchange, or even the release of waste products or toxins. Stress is caused and results in dis-ease. And the other hand, Dr. Joe Dispenza, positive loving thoughts improve cell function. So I wanted to, yeah. We can go to 79. Yes. He knows this. Yeah. He's gone through it. It was everything was crushed, compacted. It was done. Got the mic. That's why I'm there. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And it took him 6 weeks, one, to get his mind quiet enough to be able to really do that.
Right, to have enough focus to be able to do that, to where he's actually rebuilding his body, telling it what to do.
It was less than 2 months. Mm-hmm. He was back in his chiropractic practice, walking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He travels around the world and talks and everything. And so.
You don't just hear it. He's just not a researcher that thinks this. Mm-hmm. He lived it.
Mm-hmm. He was wondering, can I rebuild my body? Can I rebuild things? Can I create this? And he did. So it's very, very powerful. All right. That's 79. All right, let's go to 80. I want to go to, we want to start with, what's on, I'm trying to find lesson 8. Oh, we're just going through a review. I bet it's right after this. What do you think? Because if you're close to slide 80, there we go. Step 8, this is what we're discussing tonight. So I'm going to have to kind of rock on this. I'm not sure what time it is. It's almost 7:30. Okay, good. So step 8, inventory, honesty. Make a list of all the persons we had harmed in our life and become willing to make amends to them all. Wow. Whoever you've hurt in your life, who have you hurt in your life? And be willing to make amends to them. And creating a destiny, got some notes down here that I wrote. Creating a destiny is like creating a garden. It's pointless to place the seeds of beautiful blossoms if your plot is overgrown with weeds. You must remove the unwanted plants, or they'll just choke out the new flowers before they bloom. The same is true for all the seeds of your purpose and your success. In order to create the harvest that you desire, it's important to dig up and let go of the unhealthy patterns of the past. Let go of that relationship that hurt you. Let go of the thing that you did to someone else years ago or whenever. Let go of that. You know, a snake, we live in the desert, lots of snakes. You know, a snake, unless it sheds its skin, it will die. The old man must come off in order for the new man to come on and for the snake to live. If it doesn't shed all of its skin, it dies. So we, as sons and daughters of God, need to learn to shed that old. Get rid of that. Take an inventory. Hebrews 12:1 in the Amplified says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance. This is an encumbrance right here, people that you've harmed. Every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course or your race or your purpose that is set before you, looking away from all that will distract unto Jesus. Everything that's distracting you, look away from that. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith. So that's Romans 12:1. And then Colossians 3:8. Says, but now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things, anger, rage, bad feelings toward others, curses, slander, foul mouth, abuse, shameful utterances from your lips. Get rid of that. Put that away from yourself completely. Anger. You're angry at somebody. Get that away. Why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Because if you hold those emotions, guess what you're broadcasting? And no one wants to be around you. Your success doesn't want to come to you. The things you need in your life for your purpose, the people, the resources, you're pushing them away just by that energy field around you that you're broadcasting. And everybody's picking it up, whether they know it consciously or unconsciously. Sometimes you know it. Sometimes you can feel it. Sometimes you can be in a room with somebody and you're like, kind of a dark person, or I don't know about that guy. You know, you kind of get this feeling about him. So, or you get a feeling of joy. I like being around Ed. He's just such a cool guy. So, you know, you feel that energy. So that's why we're doing this. That's why we want to do this. So before we can rebuild relationships, we need to identify the relationships that were damaged. And Jesus forgave us. I think it's in Matthew 18, 32 through 33, right? The master would say to us, I forgave thee all thy debts because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even when I had pity on thee? That's what Jesus would say to us. Before you make a list of people from whom you need to seek forgiveness, first list those people you need to forgive. List those people you need to forgive. Next to the names of the people we need to forgive, we record the way we originally felt when the harmful incident happened, and what we were still tempted to feel. So next to the name, what was the thing that happened? If you can remember it, if the Holy Spirit brings that up to you. What was the thing that happened? If we found people on our list that we had a especially difficult time forgiving, take it to Jesus. Take it to the Holy Spirit, your counselor. Pray over that. And then pray blessings upon that person by an act of your will. You may still think that person ought to go to hell. Boy, if they were here, I'd just bust them. So, but take it to the Lord, and by an act of your will, I forgive this person. Help me, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help you. And you pray for that person. Take 2 weeks and bless that person. Take 2 weeks and pray for that person. All of a sudden, your attitude starts to change. All of a sudden, you start seeing that person through the eyes of Jesus. And after you've listed everyone that you have harmed on your list, list yourself next. Because you've harmed you. So remember that. And look at James 3:16. I like James 3:16. Because if you're carrying all this strife, if you're carrying all this with you, the book of James says what's surrounding you is confusion and every evil work. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For where envyings and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So if you are continuing to have this strife in your heart, if you're continuing to feel this way towards someone, then that's strife in your heart. And the Bible says where there's strife and confusion, there's every evil work going on in your life. Why is this always going on in my life? Well, let's take a look at that. Let's evaluate. Let's take an honest inventory of where I'm at. Confusion and every evil work. That is all based in fear. Fear is the foundation of that. Fear creeps inside you, and what fear does is it's like it just creates this black cloud around itself. Just a black cloud of confusion to hide the fear from the light of God's word. And then you have that fear, and then you have confusion around it. And this is all surrounding you, and then all your decisions are made on pressure caused by that confusion. Now every financial decision, business decision, everything you're making is based on confusion and pressure. It adds pressure to your life. Yeah.
I'm coming. I'm here. I don't know where I'm at. You know how airport traffic is, right? Airport traffic is nuts. So I'm in fear. I'm scared to death. I'm trying to, you know, not hit pedestrians, not hit cars, because I got a rental car. Because God forbid you hit somebody in a rental car. And I'm driving along, and I'm looking for her, and I can't find her, and I'm freaking out. And I get to the third intersection. Right in front of the car. yelling at me, and I don't even hear him. I'm thinking this is some wacky guy is talking. So I just kept on driving. And I mean, it was only 25 feet to where she was. And this guy, I look in my mirror, and there's a guy running up behind me, and it's this cop. And I'm like, oh my God, a cop's chasing me. So I pull up, and I'm like, of course I'm, sitting there, and the guy's like, what do you think you're doing? I can't believe you. This is going to run a red light right there in the middle. I'm like, I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. So he's like, it's okay. I'm scared of my wife, too. You can't be running red lights. So, yeah, it's just a really good example of, like, my whole brain is completely shut off because I was just totally in fear.
You were on fear and confusion. Fear, confusion, and then you felt the pressure. And then you're making decisions based on the pressure, and you're not paying attention. You're not in the now.
And almost had a really bad start.
Yeah. He could have just nailed him to the wall. I mean, what are you on? You know? Yeah. So the cop's saying, Ed, what are you doing? The wife's saying, Ed, what are you doing? And I don't know. I'm an idiot. So, oh, man, that's something else. That freaked you out. So by doing this, why am I doing this? By doing this list, you accept both responsibility and understanding that what you did was wrong, so you can be more effective and not repeating again, and release the power others have over you, the power you gave them. See, when you take responsibility, understand what you did was wrong, then you won't repeat it again. If you don't get this out, you're going to repeat the same thing over and over and over and over again. This is not the time to justify why you did it. Just admit it was wrong and take responsibility for it, and be willing to make amends for it. It's a heart issue. That's the other thing. It's not the time to justify to this person why you did what you did. I want to tell you I'm sorry, but the reason I did what I did was this and this and this. No. You were wrong. You go to them. You don't elaborate. You just tell them what the offense was. I did this to you years ago, whatever, and I want to say I'm sorry. I apologize. It was wrong. And then, don't go into the details of it. Just keep it simple, short, sweet, and you're done. Yeah.
With no expectation of what they
say
or do.
Right. They may react to you in a negative way. They may love you and start crying and throw their arms around you. But you go with no expectation. You go with not predicting the outcome of it. You don't, I apologize, but dadgummit, they didn't appreciate it at all. No, you don't do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. they'll teach you that in politics and leadership. Never apologize, because it's a sign of weakness. To me, it's a sign of strength. To me, it's a sign of and you're big enough, and take responsibility and be honest about it. Because, you're not selfish. And yeah, you're vulnerable. A warrior's always vulnerable, huh? Aren't we all? But, you do become vulnerable. But like Michelle said, you go into it not without an expectation. That's very, very, very important. Do not justify why. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove, examine, and test your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, unapproved, and rejected. So we are to examine ourselves. The Bible says that. Examine ourselves. This is a constant thing. This is something that we do constantly. We constantly examine ourselves. Some people do it every night. Some people do it weekly. How did I do this week? You can do it in your marriage. Every week, Sunday night. My wife and I, we wanted to have a date night. We wanted to make love. We wanted to, you know, do this, do that, do you know, treat each other a certain way. At the end of the week, how did we do? We sucked. We got caught up in the thick of thin things. Everything was going on around us, and we just forgot about each other. Or we did really well. I loved it when you treated me this way. I loved it when you did this for me. I loved that when you said that about me. That was really encouraging. That built me up. How did we do this week? And that's what you can do. Examine your own selves. How did you do this week? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We do not really want to apologize, but we are the boss of our flesh. See, it's the flesh that doesn't want to apologize. It's not the spirit. It's the flesh that says, I want to protect me. And the spirit says, no, let it go. Once you let it go, you're free from that forever. We're the boss of our flesh and place it under subjection to our spirit man and do what we do not want to do for the greater good of the individual. If we choose not to do this, we hurt ourselves, the individual we wronged, and the kingdom of God. The only winner in that situation is Satan. I'm not sure why Nick chose that. But yeah, putting your foot in your mouth. Keep under my body. He's trying to put, okay. And then step 9, to do. I've got some notes down here on that. To do. Make direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So we are to repent. We're making amends. Takes courage and power. We're to repent. Think a new way. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? We all know that scripture. You can't access the kingdom of God thinking the way you've been thinking. You must repent and think a new way. Why is seeking forgiveness important? Our minds generate energy, right? We already talked about that. Our minds generate energy constantly, sending out signals that convey our deepest beliefs and most common thoughts. Everything we do and think has an energetic consequence, although it may take place, or though it may take a while to manifest in the physical world. Your persistent thoughts, whether good or bad, create the greatest consequences in your life, whether you want them to or not. So negative thoughts and emotions such as anger, envy, depression, fear, damage your personal energy field. We talked about that. James talked about that, right? There's every evil work. This is why it's so important to release these negative emotions and past offenses if you want to create a resonance of success, purpose, health, wealth, joy, peace, and favor. That's the resonance you want. That's what you want around you. That right there. Success, purpose, health, wealth, joy, peace, favor. All those things. And to do that, you need to get rid of all that stuff in your life. You need to get rid of that. Making amends is part of that. You must figure out and release the toxic beliefs and thoughts that plague you the most. If your primary opinions are negative, then you must choose to let them go, or your life will never move in a more positive direction. So, amends take courage, but once done, releases your power. leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Your gift has no value if we don't do this step. Hypocrites we become. I guess that's a quote from Yoda. Everybody knows who Yoda is, right? Yeah. Hypocrites we become. That's really good. Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. I love that scene. I forgot which Star Wars it is where the X-Wing gets stuck in the swamp. Empire Strikes Back? No, this guy's a nerd. Star Wars nerd. And they were out there, and yep, that's why he failed. I love that. I love that. There is, because see, Yoda was trying to teach him that he, through his mind, he could lift that ship out of the mud and move it over on dry ground. And he said, I can't do it. It's impossible. This can't be done. He tried. And then he got mad and he walked off, you know, and pouting and stuff like that. And then Yoda did it. And he walked around and he was touching the ship and he said, oh, man. He goes, I don't believe it. And then Yoda looked at him and said, and this is why you fail. Because you don't believe it. Yeah, I love that. Okay, that's off the subject. So, yeah, is it though? Leviticus, and he shall make amends, full repayment, make good, restore for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto and give it to the priest. In Numbers 5:6, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any offense that men commit to do and trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty. Then they shall confess their sin, which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto them against whom he hath trespassed. So the to-do process of empowering oneself after wrongdoing. Number one, repenting, right? Repent, think a new way. That's what I just read about on here. Inventory, write them down. Confess to yourself and another. By the way, God already knew. He forgave it when you put on the robe of righteousness. That's another thing. I mean, I've done this, and I heard Kenneth Copeland say he did this. He did something really, really wrong, and sinned and all this kind of stuff, and he held on to that for 3 weeks. I mean, he would not go to God with that. And finally he broke down and went and confessed it to the Lord. And he said, Kenneth, this isn't when I found out about it. I knew you did that way back here. He goes, now is when you got rid of it. When you confess it, you get rid of it. It's not when God found out about it. You got rid of it. So you confess to yourself and another. God already knew it. When you confess it to another, when you confess it to yourself, is when you get rid of it, when you recognize it. That's your first achievement, is recognition. Recognize that you did something wrong. Yeah.
So the importance of telling another person, one,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To it, plus it's out there.
Yeah.
There's no more hiding it.
Right.
It's so easy to hide when we just say, well, I talked to God about that, I'm all good.
And the devil will constantly accuse you over and over and over again. But when it's out there and the light's on it, there's no accusation. He can't accuse you of anything. So are you willing to give up judging anyone unrighteously? to stop taking inventory of others' lives and faults. Take inventory of yourself, but don't take inventory of others' lives and others' faults. That's where we get into trouble. And you may be able to meet the people on your list when the opportunity arises. Sometimes you'll be able to meet the people and be one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball with them and talk to them about it. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes what you did was 50 years ago. Maybe they're dead. Maybe they're in Malaysia. You don't know. But what you can do to make amends is you can write them a letter. It'll never be mailed. But you can write them a letter. Dear George, dear Julie, write them a letter of apology. Here's what I did wrong. Please forgive me. And then burn it. Release it. Go outside and burn that letter. It's gone. It's done. I confess it. I made amends to the best of my ability. And then receive the forgiveness of God. Very important to receive it. Know that you're forgiven by that person and by God at that point. And then restore, apologize to whoever you have hurt, regardless of their reaction back, as long as that apology does not hurt them or others. You don't want your apology to hurt them or hurt others. You know? Yeah. Well, if your wife is sitting there with you and I come up and say, Mary, I'm sorry. We had sex the other night. That was wrong and I shouldn't have done it. Now, that's not going to go over too well. You're going to hurt that relationship and him and everything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can anybody think of anything else?
Yeah.
Right. If
and by you confessing what you did to it.
Mm-hmm. That could hurt them. Exactly. To bring something up that they're not even aware of it.
Well, you know, this is from AA. So a lot of times when people have addictions like that, they steal or they from their families or whatnot. Sometimes families don't know that it was them. So they don't need to stir all that up. They're just getting their life together. So part of that is that.
That's a good point. Yeah. Right, because it's going to add. It's not going to help the situation. It's not going to help the relationship. You could seek a new way, but you don't want to hurt that person. You know what I mean, and cause dissension.
Yeah, you don't want to go up to somebody and say, you know, back 50 years ago, I thought you were the biggest jerk.
Yeah.
But now I know you're not that
bad. Yeah, you know, 20 years ago. It was me that busted out your headlights that night. Remember that? And your windshield and everything? Yeah. And left you out in the desert? Yeah, that was me. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. But you have to think about those situations, though. Apologize who you've hurt. It is. Yeah. And also, if they don't want to hear from you, you call them up on the phone or something like that, and they say, I don't ever want to see you again. I don't want to hear from you ever again. I don't care about what you have to say. Let it go. At that point, huh? Yeah. You have tried to make amends. They were not receptive to that, so you just have to let that go. It's all you can do. You can't change them. And if you do, if they do let you apologize, there again, make it brief, make it short, short and sweet, apologize for the offense, and go on your way. You've done your thing. And there again, if you can't find them, you can write them a letter. Just don't mail it. So, what else? And then release. Burn the list physically. And release the wrongs you did from your heart. Live in the now, aligned with I am. Reign in power. Burn the list physically. Release the wrongs you did from your heart. Release that. And then live in the now, not in the past. If you constantly are living in the past, you're going to repeat it. You're going to repeat it again and again and again if you're constantly living in the past. Your thinking is going to be in the past. The thing is, as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, we need to think greater than our circumstances. If you're thinking equal to your circumstance, equal to what you can see out here, equal to your checkbook, then that's all you're going to get. You need to think greater than your checkbook. You need to think greater than your circumstance. Then you will rise to that. You need to think greater than your body. That's what Dr. Joe Dispenza did. He thought greater than his body. He didn't think equal to his body, the way he was feeling. He told his body what to do. And see, that's what preachers and teachers have always said. I'm going to tell my body what to do. I am healed. I am the healed in Jesus' name. Body, you line up right now. Every internal organ, I'll command you to perform a perfect work as God created you to function. I command my arteries to be clean and elastic, no obstruction. I take authority over this pain in my leg. I'm telling my body what to do. And that's what Joe did. Took a long time, but he made it through. But that's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. Yep. What's that? Oh, it is Obama. That's Jonathan Alter. That's the guy's name, and it's called The Center Holds. Obama and His Enemies. I guess it's a book. You'll have to ask Nick about that. I don't know. So, what stops us from repenting? From repenting one to another. Pride. Pride stops you from repenting one to another. Pomp, arrogance, swelling goeth before destruction, ruin and crashing, and a haughty, lofty, arrogant spirit before a fall, tottering or ruin. Pride goeth before the fall. That's what stops you from repenting to one to another, is your own pride. Always trying to protect yourself, always trying to protect the flesh. That's one of the main things the flesh always wants you to do. The flesh always wants to be right. I'm right. You're wrong. And I'll nail you to the wall. I'm going to argue with you all day long because I want to be right. I'd rather be right than kind. So other verses on pride. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, quarrel, but with the well-advised is wisdom. The well-advised is wisdom. It is not about you. See, our pride always makes it about us. Never about others. It's about me. Not about others. So it's not about you. Nick always says that. It's not about you. Go lay hands on that person. They're sick. Pray for them. I couldn't do that. It's not about you. Go do it. It's about them. Yeah. Like, I don't want to do that. Like Nick says, go out and do it. Take a shot. I love that. And if one shows up to a quarrel, there can be no fight. If only one shows up to a quarrel, there is no fight. The greater good, our strength is in our unity and working as one, not in our rightness and separateness, working as individuals. Amen to that. Yes. No kidding. As one, not in our rightness and separateness, but working as individuals. That's good. Say that in the here again. Oh, is that you? Genesis 11:6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Nick's quoted that scripture over and over and over again. As one, you can do anything. Yes, ma'am. Oh. Okay. So, you got your hand up. As one, we can do anything. Deuteronomy 32:30. How should one chase 1,000 and two, and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock has sold them, and the Lord had shut them up or delivered them? Two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Oh. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So unity here. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. In Hebrews, and let us consider one of another to provoke love and good works, and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as ye see the day approaching. And in Psalms 133:1, a song of degrees of David, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So we need to lay down the judgment. Judgment is one of the most common negative thought patterns. It comes in three major forms. We're always judging. We judge ourselves by being critical. That's not the same thing as examining yourself. When you're examining yourself, remember, you're not being critical of yourself. You're just examining yourself. There's a difference. Being critical of yourself, being critical of others, and judging experiences. Be careful of judgment of yourself, of others, and your experiences, all of which are poisonous to the energy that you project. Consistent self-criticism broadcasts signals of low self-esteem, a frequency that is guaranteed to bring rejection from our outside world. If you constantly are critical of yourself, I'm a loser, I'm nothing, I'm a worm, I never can do right, I never can make the right decision, this always happens to me. I've been a loser since grade school. The teacher told me I would be nothing. You're just constantly What is that? It's broadcasting low self-esteem. That's a frequency that's going to push away your success. Also, your judgment of others is bound to return to you. You're judging others, it's going to return back to you. You reap what you sow, right? It sends out a hostile energy that throws up obstacles to your pursuit of success. Success in your connections with other people. You're starting to broadcast that, and it's pushing the people away in your life that you need to come into your life. I call it paradoxical prayer. You're so desperate. God, I need this. God, I need this money. God, I need this relationship. I need a woman in my life. You know? Why? You know, I mean, people pray in desperation. And when they're desperate, they're praying in fear. And that desperate energy is pushing the very thing away that they're praying for. And then they get discouraged and they say, the word of God doesn't work. I've been confessing it every day. I've been praying it every day, begging God every day. Nothing's happening. Because that energy is just pushing everything away that you're praying for. Finally, when you're judgmental about your life experiences, you find yourself enjoying less and less of your personal activities until nothing seems to be good enough or special enough to make you happy anymore. This becomes a pool of dissatisfaction, drowning any joy that you could be projecting and resisting any joy that you could attract into your life. Your judgment about your life experiences. You go to a restaurant and you're just always critical of the waiter and waitress. You never can enjoy your food. Something's always wrong with it. Silverware's spotty. Everybody's got an attitude. Merry Christmas. Half the lights on that tree out there are out. It's ugly. Judging life experiences. What a beautiful sunset. Yeah, it's just hot as fire out here. I hate that. Mosquitoes everywhere. You're just judging the experience over and over again. You can't enjoy anything. And anything that's special loses its special. Because you're constantly judgmental over your experiences. Don't judge. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge other people. And don't judge your experiences. Lose that judging all the time. Amen? And I think this is where we end. You're now saved. Now what? How do I change what I have done or thought? We are all addicted to something or many things or the world's ways. Science and receptor sites and resonance. We went over that. Step one, repent. Think a new way. Decide you want to improve your life. Improve your life by improving yourself. Number two, decide that the power greater than you, God, can remove your character flaws. Only through relationship with Papa God is this possible. That is so key. So key. It's all about relationship. You can have all the tools. You can have all the things. You can confess and you can affirm and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't have that relationship with Papa God, it just isn't going to work. You may get some result. But God wants you to have success with no sorrow with it. And then trust. Make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him through Christ Jesus. Trust. Psalm 37. Fret not. Trust. Delight. Commit and rest. I went over that the last time I was teaching here. The rule of resonance. You become who you hang around. Who you hang with. Together we are more powerful than apart. Inventory. Made a fearless and thorough inventory of ourselves and shortcomings and bring it into the light. That's what Michelle was talking about, bringing that into the light. Step five, confession, drop the weight. Admit to God, ourselves, and another person the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, re-identify who we are. We are entirely ready to have God, or we are entirely ready to have God, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, remove all these ites in our hearts to form our new identity, I am. Removing all the ites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all these problems, all these things. Have you all done a study on that before, all the ites, what each one means, and each one, each one, you have these ites in your life that you have to take care of and always seem to show up, you know, the Coors Lights, the Bud Lights, all the ites in your life. So step 7, repair. Humbly ask Him, God, to give us the courage to remove these shortcomings. Number 8, inventory and honesty. Make a list of all the persons we have harmed in our life and become willing to make amends to them all. And then 9, to do. Make amends to those we hurt, regardless of their response. So, any questions? Any comments? Get rid of the stuff in your life that is dragging you down. Lay aside every weight. You're projecting the wrong energy. Everything is energy, and these thoughts, the other thing I might say is, don't, when you sit down, don't rack your brain over, who have I hurt? Oh, I've got to hurt somebody. Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. You might not get anything. In the next month, you might get something. And when you do, God says, just take care of that one right now. No. Don't go digging. Just ask the Holy Spirit. I am willing to make amends with people that I've hurt. And I'm willing to forgive people that have hurt me. Holy Spirit, show me. And the Holy Spirit will gently show you. Our counselor, our comforter, our teacher, our helper. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he'll know. And he's gentle. He's not going to beat you over the head. He'll let you know. And then don't beat yourself up about it. Just say, okay, I acknowledge it. See, you're stepping out of yourself and you're observing yourself and your life. People don't do that. Most people. They don't step out and then observe their life and observe what they're doing. They just walking around. So, anything else? All right, that's it.